going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. No. You're going to hear about it.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. It is the man behind Pro Football Talk, the creator, the editor-in-chief. And you can get the Father of Mine ebook for free today and tomorrow only. It is Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk himself. Mike, with a ton of draft information, glad to have you on this Thursday. Mike, how are you doing?
Thank you, and thank you for the mention of the book promotion. You are guaranteed to get your money's worth. Guaranteed.
Fair enough.
That actually sounds quite appealing, regardless of the price point. Mike, speaking of price points, I'm trying to figure out this NFL draft thing. We're hours away now, and it doesn't seem like there's been any moving or shaking. Do we expect there to be some trade activity in the top 10 ahead of the Bears getting that 10th pick?
You never know until it happens. There's plenty of teams that want to trade down. The problem is no one can trade down until someone wants to trade up. And you never trade up so you can tell friends and family, hey, we traded up from number 12 to number 3. You're trading up to get a player. And that's what I think complicates the negotiations, because there's a trade chart and what's the value and how do you... No, they're coming to get a player. Who is the player? How much better is the player than whoever else would be available? And what are we doing by way of coming up with a fair trade for that player? If you're going to 2 to get Travis Hunter, 3 to get Abdul Carter, whatever the case may be, you're trading for the player. That could complicate things and make it hard to come up with a true win-win. It may not turn out to be a win-win based upon how the various players and picks perform, but it needs to feel like it's an interchangeable, both sides are getting something they want out of this transaction. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think anybody knows. I love these mock drafts where trades are projected. Who the hell knows who's ultimately going to pull off a trade? There isn't even any serious talk about a trade that's happening. And anytime I see a report that someone's taking calls or getting calls or whatever the case may be, I think that team's just trying to spark a market for its pick.
No, I think that's fair, Mike. And it's also a litmus test. You're trying to see how much interest there is publicly or maybe with somebody else who's listening. What I think is funny is this was all unintentional, but it happened. We were talking earlier in our show about how there might be a real quarterback value here because of the unknowns in this draft and the few knowns. And we were talking about where Shedeur Sanders was going to fit within the last 10 minutes. Here's Pro Football Talk with this story. Mike Tomlin seems to be very comfortable with drafting Shedeur Sanders. So tell me about your thoughts about what Tomlin had to say about him, and then also how you came up with this discussion as well.
Well, Tomlin was very blunt as it relates to his belief that Shedeur Sanders doesn't get credit for his toughness. He doesn't get credit for the things he's done. The intangibles jump off the film. And Tomlin doesn't seem like the kind of guy who likes to play games. He doesn't like to waste time, especially his own time. A couple of years ago, they stayed where they were, and Kenny Pickett, the Pitt quarterback, fell to them. That didn't work out. Tomlin's not the kind of guy that's going to go hide under his bed when another scenario of a quarterback maybe landing in his lap arises. And there have been so many twists and turns and ups and downs as it relates to the Shedeur Sanders story. I don't know whether Deion Sanders was playing 5D chess or whether this just kind of happened, but I think when Deion said, and he told us 2 days before the Super Bowl in New Orleans, that I asked him point blank, under what circumstances would you come back and coach in the NFL? He said it would only be to coach my son. Whether he meant it or not, I think that caused plenty of coaches who would be threatened by the specter of Deion Sanders maybe wanting to come take his job. I think that caused a lot of people to find negative things to say about Shedeur Sanders. And I look at the one coach that I think would not be affected at all by this vague possibility that you're signing your own pink slip by signing off on Shedeur Sanders, and that's Mike Tomlin. And I don't know, did Deion, was this some sort of a test as to, you know what, if you're not sufficiently secure in your job that you're going to worry about me, Deion, then I don't want my son's career in your hands. And maybe I'm giving him too much credit, or maybe it's right on the money. But before the draft, you look at the board and you think, man, of all these teams, maybe Pittsburgh's the best spot for him. That might be how it turns out.
Looking at the Pro Football Talk mock draft that I saw.
Don't look at it.
Why do you not want me to look at it?
Wait.
Because I'm too busy working on my mock draft for next year.
That one's
done. I've moved on to 2026 round one mock.
No, I thought it was interesting that the mock draft had him going to the Chargers, Shedeur Sanders. But more interesting than that, and of more note, was the fact that the people there at Pro Football Talk had Ashton Jeanty falling to 10, where the Bears could select him. Is that plausible? Can you see a world in which Jeanty falls to number 10?
And let me be clear, it was the Rams, not the Chargers.
Oh, my bad.
The Rams are the team that has a year-to-year quarterback and could be looking for a long-term answer, and they could even trade out of that spot at 26 to somebody from round two that wants to come up and get Sanders. But I don't think Jeanty's going to be there at number 10. I think that – and here's what happens. Hundreds of hours of time, tens of thousands of dollars of company money, resources, thought, debate, et cetera, meetings. It's all put into this process of setting a draft board. And then the owner wanders into the process. And I think the owner is the great wild card in so many of these cases. And I think there's going to be an owner out there that sees what Saquon Barkley did for the Eagles last year. And at some point today, tonight, whenever, is going to make it known, really like to have that kid from Boise State. And I think somebody is going to take him earlier than 10. He told me, Ashton did on Monday, that he sees his window as 6 opening with the Raiders, 12 closing with the Cowboys. He's going to go at some point 6, 12, or in between. I think he's going to go higher than that. The betting odds now have him going to the Jaguars at 5. I think the Patriots could trade down from that spot, get some extra lottery tickets, make their team better at multiple positions. I made the case today on PFT Live, you know, because at first blush, well, they've got Ramondre Stevenson. He's making $9 million a year. You really don't need Ashton Jeanty. But you know what? David Montgomery makes $9.175 million a year in Detroit, and they've got Jahmyr Gibbs, and that works pretty well. And Mike Vrabel, the new coach of the Patriots, comes from a Titans team that had Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. And Josh McDaniels, when he was in the Raiders, who'd he have? Josh Jacobs. So I just think somebody is going to get smitten with the idea that Ashton Jeanty is going to be a gigantic straw that stirs the drink. And I think it's going to make him go, I think, earlier than we realize.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also was saying earlier, I think Jeanty is the beneficiary of good timing. When you see what Saquon Barkley did, it helps up the value of the position. And the NFL, as we know, is a very follow the hottest trend league. And that's a good example of maybe working out well for him.
Hey, also, on that notion of copycat, look at the Eagles. They've got a big, bad offensive line. There's going to be a lot of offensive linemen drafted tonight. And the problem is that's boring, right? You want your team to draft somebody who touches the football. Quarterback, receiver, running back, tight end, somebody who's going to be maybe that guy I want to get on my fantasy team. There's nothing fantastical about an offensive lineman until that offensive lineman is road grading people and all your skill position guys are getting things done. So I think the Eagles' success is going to help the running backs, and I think it's going to help the offensive linemen. And there's going to be some boring picks tonight because teams are going to emerge with offensive linemen, and the fans are going to be like, oh, but they're going to be feeling differently when that offensive lineman helps the offense reach a higher level.
That is the creator and editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, joining us here on Score Middays. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harrison. You brought up fantasy football. I'm glad you did, because it feels to me, and I could be wrong on this, so I just wanted to get take your pulse on this, that football fans are smarter than they've ever been before. Now, smart is kind of a thing I'll put in air quotes, because they're still going to be fanatical fans who want what they want.
But I can send you some of my emails that will balance out your opinion.
Well, what I'm saying is, overall, I think whereas for a time we did look at the NFL draft from almost a fantasy standpoint in what you just said about everybody touching the ball, but I think smart fans now know we need linemen both on the offensive and defensive side. And despite the display that Saquon Barkley put on the way to that Super Bowl championship, they see that Eagles offensive line and also that Eagles defensive line and understand that's how you win championships, and maybe they're more apt and okay with an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman at this point. I know, I feel like here in Chicago that's been a strong case made.
Well, I'd like to think that, but you still get a little more spring when your favorite team takes somebody who's going to be touching the ball. You just do. You do. I remember 1988, Vikings fan, 22 years old, watching the draft, they picked Randall McDaniel. And I was like, really? And he becomes a Hall of Famer. So I think that's a common reaction. We want that sizzle. We've locked in for 3 hours. We've committed our evening to seeing who our team's going to get. And all 32 teams have their pick. They're expecting a boost in the ratings because every fan, every fan base, every team, let's see what they're going to do. And I think there's always that hope that you're going to get quarterback, receiver, running back, somebody that touches the ball on a regular basis and provides excitement, and a guy whose jersey you want to buy. How many times do you go to a game and see an offensive lineman's jersey?
Usually they have to be retired and a Hall of Famer for that to happen.
It's true. That's a very good point. But we do love our offensive linemen who are analysts here in Chicago. So maybe it's a little different here. Mike, I knew it was some sad news in the hypothetical department when my friend Ben Baby, the reporter for the Bengals for ESPN, reported that the Bengals are indeed getting funding to help renovate their stadium, thereby squashing the dreams we had of a two Chicago football team town.
And it's still not over because it's not coming with a new long-term extension. But if the Bengals in the league are kicking in $120 million for a $184.5 million short-term project, hard to imagine the Bengals walking away from that. So, hey, at some point it's going to happen. And look at the terms that were reported last week for a potential deal at the old RFK site in D.C. for the Commanders. $3 billion with as little as $500 million coming from D.C. and up to $2.5 billion coming from the team. That's a ratio that the league is not going to be happy with. It's half right about now. This could be the first step toward a dramatic change in the percentage of total money for a project that the local government pays. And look, $120 million being paid by the Bengals, $64.5 million being paid by Hamilton County. I think things are changing, and the NFL's not going to put that on a T-shirt. But the reality is teams in the league are going to have to start coming up with a greater percentage of the total project cost, because the public money just isn't going to be there like it used to.
I would like to have a moment of silence, Mike, for the mythical team that we had dubbed Bears 2. It created a lot of fun radio bits for us. We might just still keep it going just because.
Every crazy thing that ever happens sounds crazy when it's first conceived. Think about all the crazy stories that have happened in the NFL over the last 20 years. If you had gone straight to the end result and started talking about it, people would have thought you were nuts. It's just a matter of trying to figure out where the ball's moving, where things are going, where the trends are. And the bigger message here is the trend is against public money, and teams are going to have to figure out, if we got to pay for this ourselves, we're going to pay for it here. We're going to pay for it in Baylor market. We're going to team up with another franchise that's in a big enough market for two teams and build one stadium and have that stadium pay for itself faster. These are just things that I think we all need to look at.
Looking at evaluation specifically, because we seem to always go back to Ashton Jeanty, and we understand it's a deep running back class. I guess I'm just trying to understand what the level of separation. I've heard a lot of different opinions from people who watch a lot of tape on this. What is your understanding as the drop-off between Ashton Jeanty versus the next batch of running backs that will be available in the NFL draft?
I think it's Ashton Jeanty and Omarion Hampton. I think Hampton's not far behind Jeanty, and you could maybe even have some teams that have Hampton higher than Jeanty.
Wow.
Here's the key, and I've been saying this for years. You better only use a top 10 draft pick on a running back if you think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I remember in 2005, there were three running backs taken in the top five picks. It was Ronnie Brown, Cedric Benson, and Cadillac Williams to the Dolphins, Bears, as you well know, and the Buccaneers. And that's the last time we're going to see that. You better have an Emmitt Smith, an Adrian Peterson. Emmitt Smith wasn't a top 10 pick, by the way. Barry Sanders, Saquon Barkley, somebody who's going to become great. Because the thing that we learned last year, the adjustment to the devaluation of the running back position is very simple. For the average random running back, it's still devalued because you can throw a rock in any round of the draft and get a running back, but you can't get a great one. And that's where I think the teams went too far. They lumped in Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs with all the other running backs. And that's where they went wrong. And that's where I think, as we said earlier, the copycat nature of the league, you've got Jeanty and you've got Hampton. Those guys could be viewed as potential superstars. They have greater value now because we saw last year what Barkley could do for the Eagles. We saw last year what Derrick Henry did for the Ravens.
Mike, we appreciate you taking the time, especially on the draft day. And I was also laughing at one of your other stories on Pro Football Talk because, of course, it reminded me of the Bears' previous head coach. The headline is, are teams avoiding players who don't, quote, love football, end quote? When you say that, I know it's more of an attitude discussion, and I have an attitude necessarily, but just mindset, work ethic, that type of deal. Lead me into the topic that you and Chris Sims were discussing when this came up.
Well, and this came from a Jay Glazer tweet who said, for the first time, he's noticed the prevalence of teams not just using whether and to what extent a guy loves football as a tiebreaker, but basically taking guys off the board if they don't love football. I think that's a mistake because they can learn to love it. Or how many of us have jobs we don't like, but we still do them? I mean, if you're good at something and they're going to pay you to do it, and what else am I going to do? So I'll go do this thing that they're going to pay me a ton of money to do, even though I don't love it. It's a short period of time in my life. I'm going to play for 5-7 years. I'll bank the money and I'll move on. You don't have to love it. I think that it's a reflection of the resentment of the fact that these kids now have a little bit of power. They got a little leverage. They got money in the bank. They don't come in, yes, sir, no, sir, I'll do whatever you want because I got nowhere else to go. I got no other money. I think the old school football mindset doesn't like that. And I also think that it overstates how much money they're making. Mm-hmm. Guys aren't coming out of college with generational wealth. It's a Band-Aid. It's not going to carry them into their 50s, 60s, and 70s. They still need to show up and play, and the good ones are going to show up and play. Who cares if they love it or not? I also think that teams like guys who love football because if they really love football, you know what's going to happen? When it's time to negotiate a contract, they're going to cave more quickly because they're not going to be driven to hold out for the last dollar because they love football too much to do that.
So just not as exploitable as they used to be is what I'm hearing.
Exactly. Like, yeah. And they don't like it. The rabbit's got the gun. That's what's going on in college football. And the fact that NIL is putting money in the pockets of these players. I'm waiting for the year that a guy who is a top prospect says to the team that is getting ready to draft him, number one overall, I'm not going to play for you. And if you draft me, I'm going to sit out the whole year and re-enter the draft because I got $10 million in the bank that I'll live on.
Yeah, I was worried that last year that was going to be Caleb Williams in that exact scenario, but that did not happen, as we know. And Mike Florio, we will talk to you about that, the movement in the NIL lawsuit that's happened. I know we were talking about it a little bit earlier. So post-draft day, I want to get your thoughts on that. I know we'll read for your articles and your opinions on that as well.
Awesome.
Thank you so much to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk joining us on this NFL Draft Thursday. And now we want you to join us. This is the call to action, people. You know what to do. Today and tomorrow, we're closing out the week. Who's your guy? 312-644-6767. Don't text us. It's okay to leave a message on the meatball machine. 312-644-6767. Call us. Ask us. Who's your guy? It's next on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Score Middays presents Who's Your Guy on 670 The Score.
My guy, Tonka Hemingway, defensive tackle, South Carolina.
My guy is Ryan Mills, defensive tackle, Fighting Irish.
My guy is J.J. Pegues, defensive tackle, Ole Miss.
My guy is Mr. Walter Nolan, defensive lineman, Ole Miss.
We love that you guys have been calling in with Who's Your Guy submissions. And also, if you can't call in, text doesn't work. Twitter doesn't work in this case. You've got to leave us a meatball machine message. go to the Score on the Odyssey app and then leave a voice message. And that's where you could say who you are and who your guy is. And we can try that route as well. But we appreciate you calling in. And we have two segments today in honor of day one of the NFL draft. 312-644-6767. So let's start it off with Jay. Jay, who is your guy?
My guy is Caleb Johnson, running back, Iowa.
Well, lucky for you, Jay, I have on some Hawkeye yellow, I believe, today. That was a coincidence, but I'm going to claim it. Caleb Johnson, 6'1", 224 pounds. He's almost 22, but not quite yet. He's 21.7 years of age. His strengths?
He does freaky stuff.
All right.
That's a strength.
That's a very open-ended comment. Physically put together with power throughout frame. Run square with strong base and forward momentum to make tacklers feel it at contact. Draws inspiration from Derrick Henry. That's a good person to draw inspiration from. Consistently carries tacklers for extra yards. So you're hanging on. He has 1,060 yards rushing after contact in 2024. Processes really well to read backside cuts, follows blocks, and navigates holes. Shines on toss, outside zone plays, with horizontal flow. I'm not there emotionally yet. I don't want to talk about those plays.
Wow.
Nope, I'm not there. Stays light on feet to slide, redirect, and make timely cuts. Average long speed, but initial acceleration allows him to get downhill through lanes. I like that. That's good. Zero fumbles in 2024.
That's always good.
That is excellent. Reliable pass catcher. What's up, Ben Johnson? With big, strong hands in screen game. Held up well when asked to pass protect. Should continue getting better. Another statute of Ben Johnson offense. His weaknesses. I'm a big believer in vehicle like break-ins.
Oh.
I don't vehicle break in. I can't even get in my own car most of the time. Inconsistent pad level through first level holes. Not a home run hitter. Well, that's good, Beast. He plays football. And long speed taps out. I see what you're saying. It's a metaphor. Average elusiveness and will struggle to avoid direct hits. Can do a better job setting up second level moves. Work in progress as blocker. He averaged just 2.4 pass blocking snaps per game in 2024. Also, hello, the Iowa offense.
Not a third down back, although there were plenty of third downs.
No, it's not that. It's just they don't pass very often. They do, it's news. Mm. Suffered high ankle sprain during 2023 fall camp and tried to play through it before missing three games. And 10 pounds heavier at pro day than combine. Water weight. Overall, he is at his best when he can quickly read and set up his blocks and anticipate backside frontside lanes to find yardage that isn't there. Number two in the FBS with 21 carries of 20 yards or more in 2024. He tends to run upright, giving defenders a large target, but has the build and determination to be a bruiser as a forward-leading north-south runner. Let's go. Overall, Johnson isn't a dynamic make-you-miss athlete, but he is a patient and powerful one-cut runner with the instinctive vision to crease the defense using run angles and foot quickness. His play style is reminiscent of DeMarco Murray with a three-down skill set to thrive in a zone-based NFL scheme. I hope you have a longer career.
Wow.
The grade is second round on Caleb Johnson.
All right, next up, Frank from Oak Park. Frank, who's your guy?
My guy is another one who showed well at the Senior Bowl. Defensive tackle from Toledo, Darius Alexander.
Darius Alexander is the seventh-ranked defensive tackle, according to Dane Brugler in The Beast. He's also the 61st-ranked player, regardless of position. He's 6'4", 305 pounds, and he's not a spring chicken. 24.66 years old out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. He is a guy who has many strengths.
Yeah, he doesn't skip the weight room.
That would be a strength. Owns an NFL-ready frame.
Was that John Shriffin?
That was John Shriffin. With long arms and big hands, fluid big man with outstanding body control for his size to slip through gaps. Works well laterally to make plays up and down the line. Shows basic understanding of how to lock out and leverage blocks, both as a rusher and run defender. rudely introduces himself to blockers with firm punches to create control.
I do not like you. I will not say hello to you.
Uses forceful tugs and rips to cross the faces of blockers. Sniffs out screens and plays alert as a drop player see his interception in 2024 bowl game and dominated against stiffer competition during senior bowl practices. Weaknesses.
He was lying to everyone.
Yeah, you want to be honest. Mostly be honest with yourself. It starts there. Finds himself too upright with only average contact strength to battle through blocks. Needs to develop instincts to feel blocking pressure and anticipate scheme. Rangy tackler, but he'll leave some production on the field when he plays too hot. Fights through traffic, but his rush plan often lacks cohesiveness. Didn't dominate in college to the level his talent suggests he should have. Single-digit career sacks over 59 games in college. He will be 25 as a rookie. In summary, Alexander is rangy, defending the run with the body fluidity and length to displace blocks. He has shown an improved ability to fill the rhythm of blocks to work off contact, but needs to streamline his pass rush with more consistent leverage and sequencing. Overall, Alexander isn't yet the full sum of his impressive parts, but his blend of power, length, and athletic body control give him the makings of a three-down, scheme-versatile NFL starter. He projects best in an attacking role, where he'd be able to maximize his disruptive traits. His peak plays are reminiscent of Leonard Williams. He has a grade of second to third round.
Also, apparently I am now getting the server error from the Beast. This isn't good.
It's not.
Here we are using this newfangled technology instead of the PDF. And it's not working.
Yeah, this is. We've tried on a couple computers over here, and the Beast seems to be having a server error. Marshall, you still got access to the Beast because time's running out.
I should have downloaded the PDF. I should have printed it out.
I think I have it. Let me test it out.
We can keep going till it gives you that server error.
I'm going to try a different browser, and I'm going to see if that works.
I'm afraid that has a
no.
That is spread to mine, but I'm going to go.
What?
This is
not on draft day.
Hold on. I'm going to go into the Athletic app on my phone and see if there's any. Because we're going to find out.
Server error on Microsoft Edge, too, and that's my go-to secondary browser.
Everyone is on the Beast right now. Everyone in America
actually makes sense.
Perusing the Beast on draft day.
If you think
they should have had the bandwidth to be able to handle this. We can't have the Beast not be our guy. That deletes the purpose here.
Okay, I'm looking to see if the Beast is working on my phone.
8-4-7, the Beast is like 1,000 pages. You can't print it out. That takes down like a small forest. Like the guy at FedEx Kinko's just looks at you like he's found his mark because you know you're going to pay $500 for the Beast. That can't happen. You can't do that.
I'm working on it.
Should we do some strengths and weaknesses of the Beast?
Yes, let's do it. My guy is the Beast. His strengths.
I love Dustin Rose. Let me just say that. What a wonderful person.
All right, so maybe
this is not good.
The Beast is not a wonderful person.
The Beast
person.
Is down.
The Beast is crashed. Does Lawrence have a copy? Did he print it out at DePaul again?
He might have. I can't believe this is happening.
Oh, live radio, things happen, you know?
I knew I should have downloaded that dang PDF. I knew it. And like, I have the memory on my phone. This is why I pay for memory and to save text messages when people tell me I haven't said something. And I'm like, oh, yeah, what about this? And, you know, screen grabs of things. I pay for the memory. It's a luxury in these United States.
I'm trying to log back in because it kicked me out of the Beast.
It kicked me out as well.
Oh, okay. So we're on the same page.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. So it's all...
Okay, so now we're all...
I logged in and didn't help.
If only there was somebody who is tech savvy to help us. I don't think that's it. I think it's their issue.
You are a tech savvy
person. I know.
Person.
That's why I'm bothered. I can usually get through a firewall or two. But I don't think that's the issue here. I think they're just having bandwidth issues. Like, it's overloading the system.
Okay, so...
Nuts.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to...
Table the Beast?
But we'll do it again tomorrow, given the idea that it'll be working tomorrow.
I'm going to just do the Google thing.
What are you Googling?
I'm just going to start to Google people and read stuff about them.
Okay, that actually works, too. Let me see if I can do who was up next.
It's Brock Lamp from NIU. His Twitter says he's the best and most versatile fullback in football. Ryan has the Beast?
Ryan has the Beast.
How are you doing this? Do we have a firewall that suddenly shut the Beast down? If so, I would like to have a strong word with someone at
Odyssey.
Well,
if Ryan's laptop works.
All right, let's try this.
Perhaps mine does.
I'm going to work on this. our work computers denying us the beast is a real issue. We got to go to break now? No, we're not going to break. Mark, is Mark still on the line? All right, Mark, you do this. Who's your guy?
My guy is Brock Lampe, fullback from NIU.
I'm happy about this because I thought that the NIU win over Notre Dame was awesome, and I'm happy to talk about Brock Lampe. Let's see if it works. Dramatic music plays. The little wheel is, nope, Ryan, you also have a server error. How dare we do this to the Huskies? Of all the teams? Unbelievable.
The local product.
Well, yeah. We'll full refunds. Everybody gets their tickets back. You could come call back with your guy tomorrow if you didn't.
I'm not using ChatGPT 262. I'm not
ChatGPT.
I'm not gonna join.
We're gonna get fake.
I'm not gonna join our
from ChatGPT.
309. My guy is Dane Brugler. Weaknesses: server space. Guys, I have a beef with Dane Brugler now because the Beast has done some really savvy marketing. I heard that they were at Superdog and had a whole little setup, and they even did the height chart. They did like a vertical height chart where you could see how high you could jump and who the highest vertical was. And they have this cool car that's all painted or wrapped with the Beast logo and that block print. I'm not happy about this. And we did this to the Huskies. This is not okay. We insulted our own school. Lawrence is in the back. Hey, Lawrence, did you print out the Beast? Did you waste a bunch of trees this time at DePaul? No, you also relied on technology, and technology betrayed us. All right. Well, we'll take a break. We'll figure this out.
I want to apologize, though, to Thomas Hammock, because I felt like we did his player a disservice.
I was so excited to talk about Brock Lampe, too. That's so sad. I was like, yay, NIU, let's do it. And then nothing. Who's our guy?
Put that in the holster.
The FedEx Kinko's people who print out these things take advantage of us, but guess what? The hard copy is always the way.
Mm.
I save my DVDs for that reason.
You have DVDs?
Exactly. We're going to try to not make this the Shane's Meat segment. That's next on The Score.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Oh, no. That's unfortunate.
Not on draft day. Oh. So, after troubleshooting through various methods, including using non-Wi-Fi and just a digital network, separate logins, separate devices, and, turning off and on a computer somewhere, we have determined that the server error with the Beast is on the Athletics side.
Layla, did we get punched? Are we just punched drunk? Or are we trying to roll with the punches? Explain to me what's going on right now.
I appreciate everybody's
Dr. Jerry Punch.
I appreciate everybody's references to the Shane's Meat segment that we can never speak of again. Like 847 saying, what's the time and temp to smoke a pork shoulder? And 630 saying, which prospect has 80 pounds of shoulders?
What? Talking about pork shoulder? Is that what you said? No?
So I thought somebody said an 80 pound. Pork shoulder instead of 8. And I was like, I don't know, maybe it's a wild boar or something.
80 pounds would be a bit big for a shoulder.
That's not my area. Animal. Swine. I mean, I eat some stuff like prosciutto and...
It's like a great Welsh shoulder.
Pepperoni and whatnot, but that's about as far as I go.
You know who my guy is?
Who's that?
Shota Imanaga. You know who my other guy is?
PCA.
So we've seen the MVPCA, we've seen the SPCA, And now we just got straight up PCA.
How do you guys feel about Scottish eggs? I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna delve into it. Do you even know what we're talking about?
When I don't know about the Scottish
eggs. Shane's meat segment.
I just know Shane likes meat, but he can't digest it very well.
It was probably the worst segment of all time, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
What was it? What was the premise?
It's too hard to explain. You're just going to have to sit through the 20 minutes and listen. Just know that everything that could go wrong.
But you had a premise, right? Like, we're going to talk about blank.
Shane was trying to take calls, and he was like, my girlfriend's car has Wi-Fi and all this, and like trying to explain the technology. And then the technology failed. And then I thought somebody was smoking an 80-pound pork shoulder.
That seems like a good story if you're trying to feed a large group of people, but otherwise it was massive. Doesn't really work for us.
It was a massive failure, but it's good to joke about it. We played it for Christmas for the people, and then we decided to never play it again. I do want to point out some stuff that we didn't get to in our Cubs segment that I think is worthy of discussion. And you mentioned what PCA has done, especially against the Dodgers. I think it's not even just the fact that he's performed well. It's that he's decided to shine against one of the best teams in baseball, when you consider that piece of it, whether it's two home runs at Dodger Stadium, you know, he was responsible for 11 total bases on that Sunday game, or it's what we saw yesterday with that massive home run and then him coming through with, you know, the four RBIs total, three hits. You can't argue with what the man is doing right now. So Craig Counsell, appropriately, I hope, feeling a little bit better after the game yesterday to talk about him too.
Yeah, I mean, he had a heck of a game tonight, you know, and it's what, you know, special players are capable of, like, impacting all areas of the game. Swing of the bat, power, base running, defense. It was a wonderful game, and he made his presence felt in a big way, for sure.
So that was, like, slightly happy Craig Counsell? It's, like, partially happy Craig Counsell? Like, there's partially annoyed, and now there's partially happy.
So partially annoyed, Craig, that's PAC, not
correct.
PCA. Got
correct.
It. So here's something that is not CAP, okay?
Cap.
I have extrapolated out the F war that you told me he had reached through 26 games.
Pete Crow Armstrong?
Yes.
Third in total war, according to Fangraphs.
That's third, right? So if you take simple math, and you say 1.8 times 162, that equals 291.6. Then you divide it by the number of games that have actually been played, which is 26. You extrapolate that out. That's a war, F war, of 11.2. Is that good?
Grr.
Is that good? 11.2 for a season?
Let's see where 11.2 would have fit you in on 2024. 11.2 was Aaron Judge's total war for 2024.
So that's good is what you're saying.
He led baseball.
So you're saying that's good. I'm just
the
going back.
The on-pace statistic is major CAP, but I like where you're headed with it today.
Wait, why is it
today?
Major CAP?
Because it's on pace.
But we're telling people what it is. This is just an extrapolation of what's happened so far.
Last year's total war via Fangraphs leaders were as follows. Aaron Judge, 11.2. Bobby Witt Jr., 10.4. Shohei Ohtani, we've heard of him, 9.1. Juan Soto, 8.1. Gunnar Henderson for Baltimore with 8. That's your top five.
So you had two guys or three guys with a double-digit war last year?
Two. Judge and Witt Jr.
Okay. And Shohei didn't pitch, so big knock on him.
Correcto.
Didn't he have a 50-50 season last year?
Shohei, was he 50-50?
I thought he was 50-50. Yeah. Not so that shocks me then, if that's the case. But the bottom line being, if he keeps playing this way, we're going to be in good shape with PCA going forward.
You guys, you can't listen to the segment unless you find the Christmas Day podcast from, or maybe Christmas Eve or whatever day before Christmas our show was.
54 home runs, 59 stolen bases.
Yeah, that's a 50-50 for sure.
And he led the league in on base percentage, slugging, and OPS for a second straight season.
Then how did that happen? How did he? Is it because the rest of the team was so good?
I don't know, but he had a 190 OPS plus as well.
Yeah.
Is that decent?
Well, you know what he did against Porter Hodge last night in the ninth?
He got out.
Struck out.
He got out.
Tough scene.
it was a very lovely scene if you were at Wrigley and not parading around the Wrigleyville area pregame in Dodger blue.
Okay, I would like thoughts? To say something thoughts? About this. I like that fan groups come and cheer for their team.
Yeah, you remember you lived in Philadelphia at a time that you remember Citizens Bank South when they went to Nationals games. People just bust down there and tailgate all day.
Yes. And it's a fun thing to do, to watch games in different places with a group of people who also want to watch a game in a different place with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that compared to the traffic hellhole that is the traffic surrounding Dodger Stadium, why Clark Street looks so peaceful and easily walkable, even if you're in the middle of the street.
Well,
they were having fun.
Yeah, I'm with it.
And then people had fun back because they're like, oh, who won? And you know what I call that? A rivalry.
Are you saying the Cubs and Dodgers are rivals?
Isn't it fun to have groups that cheer for their teams and then you can be like, oh, scoreboard. And then you're like, that's cool. The next game will also be interesting because both these teams are good and we will pay attention to it. And these are two places that people like to visit.
I guarantee you one thing. If the next game is in 2025, it will be more than interesting. Because that will be a playoff game.
Yeah, 8-1-5 is a good point. The total war may be down because of the lack of defensive component with Shohei. That may have been it.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, because it's fair. Total.
That's more than fair.
Do you want to pour one out for your guy?
So Gage, as I called him, Gage Tater Workman, quickly morphed into Gage Error Workman.
How about just Gage is serviceable on another team, Workman?
Or how about Gage never played above the AA level in his life before this season? So let's find out what happens. I want to see what happens if Detroit buys him back for $50,000, if another team that might need some offensive help, a lottery ticket, if you will. I know of one right here in town. If they were to maybe pick him up.
That's where I thought Nicky Lopez was going.
No, Nicky's. I got bigger dreams than
Nicky
that.
Nicky got a 1-year deal with the Cubs.
That is a major come up. We haven't talked to him as much as we should have, as how much of a come up that is for him.
You know what else it is? It's the Cubs making quick decisions on people because they know that timing is of the essence here. And that's a different discussion altogether.
Sense of urgency is certainly there. That's something we can get into post-draft. We'll have time. But
we will absolutely have time.
But we're running out of time right now, aren't we? Huh?
All right. Fair enough. We have more NFL draft talk next on The Score. I'm sorry about who's your guy, but I'm really sorry
tomorrow.
About the Athletic servers. There's an issue here. I'm not going to pay a lot of money to print out the Beast. I just don't believe in wasting that much paper. I believe in Control F, find. I'll get the PDF. That I am sure. I'm sorry, y'all. More NFL draft talk next. It's the midday show. We roll on The Score.